Hello and welcome to Two Talk. I'm Tara McLaughlin.
And I'm David Thompson, and this is your weekly fix of what's happening in the media from News Junkie.
David and I have been keeping a close eye on the Leveson inquiry into phone hacking and what it will mean for the future of press regulation and journalism as a whole.
As you may know, the PCC was established as a voluntary self-regulatory organisation responsible for regulating the press in the UK.
The PCC is responsible for dealing with complaints from members of the public and have established a code of conduct that journalists must adhere to. It is important to highlight that these rules are not legally binding, merely ethical guidelines for journalists.
At its inception, Lord Calcutt made clear that if the self-regulation of the PCC failed, government would have to step in. In the light of the phone hacking scandal, most commentators believe that the PCC has failed in its job to regulate the press effectively.
The ongoing Leveson inquiry has exposed the many instances where it has failed. The News of the World operated unethically and illegally for years without the PCC stepping in. It was, in fact, other newspapers that uncovered the scale of wrongdoing.
We've spoken to two local journalists. Newton Emerson is a freelance journalist from Northern Ireland who has contributed to several local and national newspapers. I asked him if it was time for state regulation of the press.
Well, apart from the general law of the land, I don't see why the press, the content of the press, should have to be regulated beyond libel and slander laws. The idea of press regulation, when you look at it in other countries, very quickly gets used against freedom of expression. If you look even at a country as supposedly liberal and democratic as France, you'll find that it is essentially impossible to criticise public figures, and that includes public officials, which is a very worrying development. We now effectively have a privacy law in this country under the Human Rights Act. I think that is one of the things that has come in with it unintentionally. And if that is tightened up, even in regulation, it will very quickly be used not to protect ordinary members of the public or even celebrities. It will very quickly be deployed by the rich, powerful, and those politically connected or in officialdom to avoid scrutiny.
However, Ofcom has worked for the broadcast media. Do you think that it could also work in the press, that kind of regulation?
Okay, now you say that Ofcom has worked for broadcasters, but how bland is broadcasting in this country? How cautious? And it's not even particularly tight regulation. There isn't really very much that Ofcom can do, but it has enforced a kind of discipline on broadcasters that has made the industry largely unwatchable in huge sections. People are now seriously talking about about allowing television stations to editorialise, something I think that they should seriously consider, because the news has become so bland.
Well, if self-regulation is to continue in the press, then how can the PCC claw back any credibility after the News of the World phone hacking scandal?
I would like to see the press being more assertive about the Leveson inquiry and about the attitude of politicians in general. This is clearly an attempt to get revenge over the media for the expensive scandal. There's also a strong element of the press attacking itself in this, which I think is absolutely jaw-dropping. If certain media outlets were rubbing their hands with glee at the chance to attack other media outlets, and they have, in this mutual kicking contest they've got themselves into, they failed to see the bigger picture, that regulation could come in, that a privacy law could come in. They have walked into ludicrous star chamber. There wasn't even very much debate, apart from in the Murdoch family, apparently, on attending the inquiry. One of the fathers of a London tube bombing victim, whose phone was hacked, refused to go to the inquiry because he said it was turning into a celebrity circus that was going to be used by politicians to attack the press. Why isn't anyone in the press saying that? They've just been so cowed by what's happened that they've walked in and they're sitting there in front of this McCarthyite situation, refusing to stand up for themselves. They should tell them to get lost. They should tell them that there are rights, that ancient rights and modern rights that protect the freedom of the press, that this is an absolutely fundamental part of a democracy, that we go all around the world telling every other country in the world that they can't be a democracy without a free press, and that regulation where it has been attempted always immediately turns the press into an establishment poodle. They should be fighting their corner. But what you're seeing most of all is them fighting themselves. I think that one of the most disgusting spectacles of this entire episode has been the smug grin on Jon Snow's face on Channel 4 News every night. as he sees another chance to kick the Murdoch media empire. I mean, what a fool. Does he not realise that he'll be next?
Do you think the government can resist the temptation, though, to regulate the press?
Well, I mean, look at the situation with broadcasters, for example, to see how attitudes to the media really work in this country. Why do we simultaneously believe that it is a cornerstone of democracy that papers can editorialise, and also a safeguard on democracy that broadcasters may not editorialise? Why is that? It's because the political establishment constantly believes that the public is so stupid that it will be brainwashed by any media output. And it took hundreds of years of battles and people prepared to go to prison to win freedom for newspapers. But broadcasters have never bothered to do that. And we still have this ridiculous situation where it's assumed that if, say, a Fox News outfit or something like it set up here, the mass of the public would be sitting there like morons allowing themselves to be brainwashed with right-wing propaganda.
Don't you think that's a risk, though?
No, absolutely not. I mean, why would a Fox News be more dangerous than the Sun? You know, why is it we simultaneously believe that the press is free to have political views, but a private broadcaster is not? It is a sign of how the political establishment fears the part of the press and holds the public's intelligence in contempt. And I had always assumed that this was a battle that the good guys would always win. They would always win and advance another few meters every year, and that eventually television stations would be allowed to editorialise, and we would have a range of them. I mean, clearly we have undeclared editorial bias in television already, and people just discount it. So they don't have any problems with that. I thought that, you know, that battle would be won too. But what we're seeing instead is a retrenchment. I think that there is a danger that we're going to see more regulation of the press instead of less of television. And what's actually going to happen, of course, because the technology is light years ahead for all these guys, is that everything will just move on to the net and be done by amateurs. And we're going to end up with the BBC and a million bloggers.
As we've heard, there is strong opposition amongst print journalists to government regulation. However, the broadcast media is already regulated by Ofcom, a body established by the government. The BBC, however, has its own separate code of practice. I spoke to Claire Savage, a district journalist with BBC Northern Ireland. I asked her if she thinks that regulation in broadcast media restricts her work.
I think all journalists, if they've been trained properly or have had the relevant work experience, they all follow their own code of conduct. We have our own National Union of Journalism set of guidelines where we have to act responsibly and within those guidelines. So there is a certain element of self-regulation amongst decent journalists anyway. I work within the BBC, and obviously the views I'm expressing here today are my own personal ones, but the BBC, for example, they have their own code of conduct, their own ethical guidelines, which we also have to adhere to. So I think it really depends where you work and, as I say, what level of experience and skills that you achieved maybe in the early years of your career that really have acted as a template as to what and how you'll act as a journalist.
You have said that you have experience in both aspects of the industry. Do you feel that there is much of a difference between print and broadcast regulation?
Yes, in my earlier years, I've now been working as a journalist now for about 12 years, but in my earlier years I did freelance, and I did freelance for a Red Top Sunday newspaper. And I have to say, although I did learn those basic NUJ code of conduct and guidelines, I did find that in the Red Top there did seem to be more of a freedom to act as a journalist. Now, whether or not that freedom was in some ways appropriate, I always tried to act myself as a journalist to be considered to be in high regard by other people. But I did notice that perhaps other journalists maybe didn't adhere to those rules and were maybe slightly more bloodthirsty and maybe going after a story, and they perhaps would have maybe used methods that maybe I didn't necessarily agree with. And I think it's also important to point out perhaps that we do have all these guidelines and structures in place, but I think as a human being you have a certain moral responsibility, in that how you will act is how you'll want to be perceived and perhaps respected by your peers. And for me personally, to act without, you know, outside those boundaries, I chose not to. And hopefully, though, it has served me in great stead in latter years as a journalist, and perhaps maybe got some sort of respect for my peers. I think as a journalist, I've always tried to think, well, you know, poacher turned gamekeeper, perhaps. What if this was my family that was being approached by a journalist? How would I want them to be treated, and how would I want them to be approached? So I think keeping that in the back of my mind anyway has proven very useful. Do unto others as you would unto yourself.
Were you more thinking about then how you'd feel yourself as a person rather than the actual regulation of it all?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think a bit of both, really. I mean, you're aware of bodies existing like Ofcom and the Press Complaints Commission. But I mean, as I said earlier, you know, those initial moral and ethical code of conducts that we've been brought up with as, you know, being a journalist. But I think, obviously, there have been very well publicised cases within the BBC and within, you know, recent examples of the Leveson inquiry, etc., that perhaps highlight that there does need to be some sort of moderation or a governing body that does keep an eye on journalist behaviour. And to be honest, I don't really personally think that's a bad thing, because we've seen a few examples there perhaps where some journalists need it.
So you do think it's a positive thing that your colleagues in the print press could have to abide by similar regulations if the PCC is abolished?
Absolutely. I think it's only fair, really. And I think with any organisation or industry, there should be a type of ombudsman out there that can regulate. But I think it's also important as well that that doesn't necessarily constrict the freedom of speech, or perhaps prevents journalists going after that story that maybe they should go after in terms of the public interest. So if that balance can be reached, then certainly from a personal point of view, I see there being no problem with having, you know, an overall regulatory body.
As the Leveson inquiry continues, the future of the PCC remains unclear. What is clear, however, is that there is strong feeling amongst journalists that freedom of the press is one of the fundamental parts of a democratic society. Any government regulation will surely provoke a strong reaction. To Talk, we'll come back to this discussion again.
If you want to get in touch with us, find us on Facebook or tweet @NewsJunkieNI.